I want to begin this morning where I ended last Sunday. And I ended last Sunday with this particular verse from Romans 12:10 in a practical exhortation of ways that we could minister to Christ's body. We saw how Mary Magdalene did and Joseph of Arimathea did, and this was just given by way of a practical way that we could minister to Christ's body, and that is by ministering to one another in the church, Christ's body. And so we ended with this verse, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And we're going to focus on the B part of that verse, outdo one another in showing honor. Come to this slide in just a second. Pastor Sam Crabtree writes about two kinds of outdoing. He writes, first of all, about the very, very common, very well-known outdoing of the world. He also writes a little about the very, very uncommon outdoing of the church, the body of Christ. Just for an example of the outdoing of the world, let's think about the Olympic Games just for a second. In the Olympics, athletes from all over the world gather together really with one purpose, to outdo one another, to outdo one another in speed, to outdo one another in height, to outdo one another in strength, to outdo one another in accuracy. They're all gathered there in this event of outdoing one another in competition. But of course, in the Olympic Games, not everybody will triumph. Very, very few people will get a gold medal. In fact, in the Olympics, what's going to happen to most participants in the Olympics is that most participants will be outdone in one way, form, or fashion, or another. And yet, Romans 12:10 speaks of another kind of outdoing, a scriptural outdoing. And Paul, in this second part of the command, also urges us to compete, in a sense. We're told to outdo one another in showing honor to one another. That's why, if you happen to notice Friday features this week, I don't know if you did, but if you happen to notice Friday features, I entitled this lesson, The Holy Competition of Outdoing One Another in Showing Honor. So again, thinking about the worldly way of outdoing, athletes attempt to outdo each other in order to get honor, not to give honor. But Christians are called not merely to show honor, but to outdo one another in showing honor, preferring honor in one another. Just as a reference, here are various translations of that part of Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the second part. The New International Version translates it like this. Honor one another above yourselves. King James Version, in honor, preferring one another. New American Standard Version, give preference to one another in honor. The New Living Translation, take delight in honoring each other. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, outdo one another, same as the ESV, outdo one another in showing honor. And then the Christian Standard Bible. The Christian Standard Bible really does the best job in translating this and giving the most literal translation of what Paul was saying there when he said prefer one another, outdo one another with honor. The Christian Standard Bible translates this, and this is a very good translation, take the lead in honoring one another. The idea there is lead the way in showing honor. Go before one another in showing honor, with the idea of not waiting for others to show you honor, but going before others and leading the way in showing them honor. Just a couple of commentary references to this. For example, Barnes Notes picks this up when Barnes says, and he's looking at the King James Version that says preferring one another in honor. Barnes writes, this word preferring, and when he says that, he's going back to his old-timey Greek lexicon that he had, and he understood that this word preferring that was used in the King James Version means going before, leading, setting an example. And so he comments, thus, in showing mutual respect and honor, Christians are to strive to excel, not to see which could obtain most honor, but which could confer most honor or manifest most respect. John Gill picks this up also when he says that Christians should go before each other. And by the way, looking at Gill, we'll see some Old English spelling and we'll see some Old English words. I'll point out the Old English word to you in just a moment. But John Gill, Christians should go before each other in giving honor and showing respect. They should set each other an example, and which also may be taken into the sense of the word, they should prevent one another in showing honor, not waiting until respect is shown on one side to return it again. You hear Gill's word there, and you see a very Old English word, prevent, which means in his time, almost exactly the opposite of what it means for us. When we say that we should prevent one another, we mean we should stop one another. We should hinder one another. I want to prevent Greg from falling down the steps, so I stop him. I prevent him from doing that. It's not how it was used in Gill's world at all. It meant to precede one another. His word prevent came from the Latin with the prefix pre, which means before, and the rest of that word, the root word venio, which means I come. You put those together into sort of a spatial and a temporal sense in this idea of prevent. One, I come before you with honor, and I come before you with honor before you come with me with honor. You get that? I come before you with honor, and I come before you with honor in a spatial sense before you come to me with honor in a temporal sense. That's the idea here of going before one another, acting ahead of one another, to precede one another in showing honor to one another. What's he say? Not waiting. It's not tit for tat. You show me honor, therefore I show you honor. No, I'm going before you. I'm going ahead of you. I'm leading the way when it comes to honor, not waiting for one side to show it or return it again. It's very, very important. I think of it sort of like a pace car in a race. In a race, the pace car goes before the other cars. The pace car is not in the race. The pace car is not trying to finish the line before everybody else does. The pace car is leading the way for the other cars, and then it gets out of the way. And as when it comes to leading the way to honor before others, it's us leading the way to honor for others and then getting out of the way for honor for ourselves. Three questions we want to ask this morning is, what does outdoing one another in honor involve? Why do we outdo one another in honor? And how do we outdo one another in honor in real life, where the rubber really meets the road in the day-to-day living? We're thinking about the Apostle Paul's command in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, to outdo one another in showing honor to one another. So in this question, first question, what does outdoing one another in honor involve? I'm borrowing from Pastor Jeff Stott, who is in, of all places, Mexico, Missouri. I didn't know there was a Mexico, Missouri, but there is. I don't know that he's any relationship to John Stott, but I'm thankful for some of the thoughts that he put together in terms of what does outdoing one another in honor involve. First of all, honoring one another involves value. To honor one another is to value one another. How much do we honor that which we do not value? And vice versa. How much do we value that which we do not honor? But honor is learning to, first of all, recognize and then place value on others. This is where you see others as important. This is where you see others and what they do as significant. In fact, the way the Apostle Paul frames it in Philippians 2:3 is this way. He says, you learn to recognize and place honor and value on others more than upon yourself. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. How often are we tempted to do something? How often are we tempted to do everything? But here, from God's word, this gospel-powered, life-changing word is, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Or as the New American Standard says it, count others or regard one another as more important than yourself. More valuable. More significant. That's how the ESV puts it. More significant than you. To the cause. To the moment. Maybe you know more than they do. But still, there's this idea of counting others, all things being equal, as more important. More significant. And amazingly, God places value on us. When in comparison to God, of course, we have no value whatsoever. But God does this. He sees value in us and he places value upon us. We think about Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a single penny? They're not particularly valuable by the way the world looks at them and measures them. Two sparrows are sold for a mere penny. Yet not one of them, half a penny's worth, will fall to the ground apart from your Father. In other words, he cares for and he places value upon these sparrows. And then Jesus says, don't fear. The value God places upon you, he values you more than many sparrows. Not because we deserve that value, but he places that value upon us. Now think about the value that Christ places upon us in the gospel. Tells us in Romans, I've set my love upon you. Not because you were worthy of my love, but I valued you so much that I came for you. I valued you so much that I lived for you. I valued you so much that I served you. I valued you so much that I died for you. And tangibly, honoring one another is to place value and esteem upon others in those kinds of ways with our words and our actions and our attitudes. But we'll come to that more a little later. So honor one another involves valuing one another. Honoring one another involves respect. Today's English version of Romans 10:12 translates the words like this. Be eager to show respect for one another. We saw it in the ESV is outdo one another in honor. Be eager to show respect for one another. You'll find that honor and respect they're almost perfectly synonymous. They always go together. You cannot separate honor and respect. They're like two sides of the same coin. To respect someone is to honor them, at least on some level. And to honor someone is to respect them, again, at least on some level. Remember, Barnes and Gill both used honor and respect together in their description of Romans 12:10. I'll just read them again. Barnes writes, in showing mutual respect and honor, Christians are to strive to excel, not to see which could obtain most honor, but which could confer most honor or manifest most respect. In the words we read from Gill earlier, saints should go before each other in giving honor and showing respect. So honoring one another involves respect. And to show respect for someone is to, again, tangibly, to give them your time and your attention. To honor someone is to show respect to someone by listening to them, even if you don't even agree with them. To show respect to someone is to treat them with dignity. Not to be rude toward them. And just a catch-all phrase, 1 Peter 2:17 just says this: these words, honor everyone. Some versions translate that, respect everyone. As followers of Jesus and as believers who believe that God created every individual in his image and with dignity and with significance, we should be the people who are the most honoring and most respectful to be around. Cutting others down, belittling others, rude sarcasm should never be a part of who we are towards other individuals, certainly towards other Christians in whom we are to outdo one another in showing honor. This won't be a surprise to you. Of course, honoring one another involves humility. What surprise is there to that? The NIV translation translates Romans 12, 10, the B part, like this: honor one another above yourself. Can you get a spatial concept there? Honor one another above yourself. This is where you act like a servant towards them. This is where you take on an apron and wash people's feet, setting value upon them in doing that. This is where you give others the place of honor rather than taking the place of honor. Call Phil Dendinger one time. I was in Spain. I was a rookie missionary in Spain. And I call a veteran missionary in Spain who's several hundred miles away. And the first thing he says on the telephone as a veteran missionary in Spain is, "How can I serve you? What can I do for you?" This is an attitude of saying, what is it I can say? What is it that I can do in real time that will advance the honor of this person? Adam Clark, that old Methodist commentator, had something important to say about this when he said, "In honor, preferring one another means consider all your brethren as more worthy than yourself." Not honoring them above yourself. "And let neither grief nor envy affect your mind at seeing another honored and yourself neglected." This is a hard lesson, and very few persons learn it thoroughly. How different this is from the spirit of the world. It's a spirit of revenge, or spirit of bitterness, or spirit of pride. How different this is from the spirit of the world, the spirit which seeks not to confer honor, but to obtain it, which aims not to diffuse respect, but to attract all others to give honor to us. If this single direction were to be obeyed, it would put an end at once to no small part of envy and ambition and heartburning and dissatisfaction. It would produce contentment, harmony, love, and order in the community, the home, and the church. I fully agree that that's the case. Honoring one another involves intentionality. The New Living Translation translates the verse we're considering this morning as, "Take delight in honoring each other." That makes sense if our goal is to outdo one another in showing honor. Take delight in honoring each other. So this aspect of taking delight in honoring one another means to be eager about it. It means to strive to outdo one another in honor with an attitude of intentionality. Not accidentally. Not in a happenstance kind of way. Think about this for a moment. What would your life be like if you were motivated and eager about honoring the people in your life? Let me ask it a different way. What would your life be like if you were eager and motivated about honoring the people in your home, in your church? What would happen to your marriage if you and your spouse were genuinely and joyfully and eagerly trying to outdo one another in showing one another honor? Imagine the blessed, sanctified frustration there would be in your home. Oh, she did it again. She outdid me in honor. Well, I'll show her. I'll outdo her in honor. Now, if I were making this up, this would just be like, you know, another moralistic lesson by Pastor Donnie. This is not a moralistic lesson. This is the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, when he just unpacked 11 chapters of God's so great salvation towards us, God's so great mercy towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gets to Romans chapter 12 and he starts unpacking just very practical commands that are all gospel generated and gospel motivated to us. If you remember what he says, in light of what I just wrote in those first 11 chapters, now I'm calling you as Christians to live like this. And then he gives us this command. Be asking yourselves continually, how can I show more honor to him or to her than they have shown to me? Outdoing one another and showing honor. What would a church be like if believers desired to give to honor to one another in this way? I told you I was borrowing from Jeff Stott, and Jeff Stott says these words: the power of honoring one another has the potential of revolutionizing every relationship in your life. I'll say it again. The power of honoring one another has the potential of revolutionizing every relationship in your life. It's an entire, complete game changer. Of course it is. Let me get and read those words earlier from Adam Clark. If this single direction were to be obeyed, it would put an end at once to no small part of envy, ambition, and heartburning and dissatisfaction. It would produce contentment, harmony, love, and order in the community, the home, and the church. And so, take delight in it. Be eager to show honor to one another's. It has the potential of revolutionizing every relationship in your life. This also, of course, will not surprise you, that honoring one another involves grace. Of course it does. Looking again at the New Living Translation that says, take delight in honoring each other. The each other means each other. Outdoing one another in honor means one another. No exceptions. And honoring one another involves grace because honoring one another involves people. People like you and people like me. People with sin. People with weaknesses. People with foibles. People with warts, and I don't mean literally physical warts, but warts of personality and character and all those kinds of things. People who struggle with sin, but none of these things disqualify us from trying to outdo one another from showing honor. And this is why showing honor to others is an act of grace. And honor involves grace when it comes to the amount. We can't show honor to someone enough. We're told to outdo each other in showing honor. When God demonstrates his grace towards us, what we're told is that he doesn't meagerly eke it out to us, but his grace to us, undeserving as we are, you know, with our sins, with our foibles, with our weaknesses, that in Christ he lavishes his grace upon us. He does that, doesn't he? And so honor involves grace when it comes to the amount. God says, go all out. Go all out when it comes to showing honor. Don't hold back. Outdo one another. And I hope you're getting a sense of how practical this is. We'll look at that in a few moments when we look at our third question. But let's go into our second question now. And what I just said answers the second question. Why do we outdo one another in honor? That's what I was saying a second ago. Everything Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 12 is rooted in chapters 1 through 11. You can't miss that. Otherwise, you are going to be a moralistic individual. Just trying to beat somebody over the head with the law. But when you take all that he has said in those first 11 chapters, and he says, therefore, based on that mountain of God's mercies that I just unpacked to you, I beseech you that you walk, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Right, then he begins to unpack these kind of things like show honor and outdo honor, outdo one another in showing honor. That's exactly what God in Christ did to us by his grace. And that's why our very first slide, I had this picture. I wanted us to see Romans 12, 10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. I wanted us to see that verse with that cross behind it. That's our motivation. That's our fuel. With God's help by the Holy Spirit in doing this. And that's why we do it, because this is the kind of honor that God has shown us and pouring out his grace towards us. Same things like forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another, even as God in Christ was kind to you. But I wanted to ask this third question. So how do we outdo one another in honor in real life? You know, in our homes, in our church, with our spouses, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me suggest maybe five or six ways how we can do this in real life. So it's not just theory. What we can do, we can honor one another and outdo one another with our words. There are just so many ways that we can dishonor other with our words, aren't there? Let me say that again. There are just so many ways that we can dishonor others with our words. Gossip, slander, lies, rumors, backbiting, uncharitable criticism, using those rich analogies that we pick up from the Psalms and the Proverbs. We read of words that are harsh, words that are cutting, words that are piercing, words that are torching, words that are destroying. But on the other hand, there are so many ways that we can honor one another and outdo one another with honor with our words. Words of praise, public and private. In other words, we can honor one another with our words when we're talking to each other. And we can honor one another with our words when we're talking about each other. And let's face it, we do talk about each other. But we can honor one another with our words publicly and private, how we talk to one another, how we talk about one another. Words of affirmation. Free-flowing compliments. How How rare are compliments in our lives? Words of encouragement, saying, please, thank you, you're welcome. Verbally recognizing others' gifts, verbally recognizing others' talents and labors and abilities. Here's a way we can honor one another with our words. We can honor and outdo one another with our words in keeping our word, keeping our promises, doing what we said we were going to do, and doing what we said we were going to do when we said we were going to do it. That honors others when we do that. We can honor others with our words by saying no to my interest just to take time to talk. Again, just a very gospel-transforming, gospel-powered word from Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for building up, for honoring others, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Quoting from the Venerable John Gill again, when he says, he was commenting on this particular verse, when he said, saints should speak honorably to each other in Christian company and discourage that evil practice of whisperings, backbitings, and innuendos. You know, when you're talking about someone. They should treat each other with honor and respect in their common conversation, their everyday conversation. Conversation in the kitchen, conversation in the car. They should treat each other with honor and respect in their common conversation, and especially when met together as a church of Christ. We're talking about how we can minister to the body of Christ by ministering to the body of Christ and outdoing one another and showing one another honor. So we can honor one another with our words. Obviously, we can honor one another with our actions. We can honor others and outdo them in showing honor by serving them in tangible ways. And I want to emphasize one particular word here. I want to emphasize the word initiative, because the word initiative in our language carries that exact same idea of what Paul is talking about here. It was Miss Reese who taught me in the ninth grade two words: initiative and perseverance. Thank you, Miss Reese. Initiative, she taught it. We'll never forget. Initiative, seeing what needs to be done and doing it without being asked or prompted. Perseverance, sticking to it. Stick-to-itiveness. So that word initiative carries that very meaning that the apostle is unpacking here when he says being previous, going before, leading the way, taking the initiative in outdoing one another in honor. Picking up your clothes, picking up your shoes, making the bed, helping with laundry, helping with a meal, cleaning the kitchen, doing things behind the scenes that nobody knows you even did. And there's no praise and there's no honor to you in doing it. You just wanted to demonstrate honor towards somebody else in taking that kind of initiative. Doing tasks in a timely fashion, putting away things, tools and toys. And you say, Pastor Ron, you're setting the bar really low here. I mean, picking up clothes? She said, but I don't pick up clothes. That's just saying to someone else, no, you're my servant. You serve me. Maybe there's a thanks. Maybe there's not. You put away my things because you're my servant versus I use these things. I messed up these things. I'll take away these things to serve you and honor you. And you say, that just seems so practical. That's like you're setting the bar really low. And I would have thought that showing honor to one another would have been more spiritual than that. Probably is. But it's not less spiritual than this. It means tangibly and intentionally showing honor to others by just making life easier for them, making life more comfortable for them, making life more pleasant for them, making life more fun for them. Deferring to others' interests, deferring to others' desires, deferring to others' needs and wants and preferences. So we can do it with our actions in an initiative, in showing initiative in serving others. We can do it with our thoughts and our attitudes. We can outdo one another in showing honor with our thoughts and our attitudes. And this is honoring others when they really have no idea whatsoever that we're honoring them at this moment. Because we're just honoring them with our thoughts. We're honoring them with our attitudes. This is honoring them in the unseen recesses of our mind and our thoughts. This is the love of 1 Corinthians 13, the love that keeps no record of wrong towards that individual. This is the love that thinks the best, according to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love that lives at least in the spirit of forgiveness towards others. This is not allowing our minds to always put the worst spin or the worst motives or the worst intentions on someone's actions. I'll quote Gill again. Saints should think honorably of one another and entertain an honorable esteem of each other, yea, should esteem each other better than themselves, and not indulge evil surmises and groundless jealousies of one another, which is contrary to that love that thinks no evil. We can outdo one another in showing one another honor with absence. In other words, we outdo one another with honor when we are as intent on honoring them when they are not around as when they are. It's that idea again of honoring them and showing them honor in public and in private. Here, maybe the highest one. Surely we can outdo one another in showing honor with our prayers. I can hardly think of a higher way to outdo someone else in honor than in sincerely and consistently praying for them, praying for their well-being, praying for their flourishing, praying for their spiritual progress, and praying for their prosperity and growth in God's grace. What a great way to honor someone by consistently praying for them. God's blessing upon their lives. Well, let's wrap this up. And as we wrap it up, let's think about two things. First thing, is there someone you need to honor? Who do you need to honor? Is there someone in your life right now that God is prompting you in your heart to honor in some way? A spouse, a parent, a brother or sister in Christ, here in the body, a co-worker. How does God want you to show them honor? How does God want you to outdo them in honoring them? Is it with words, actions, attitudes, prayers, a word of appreciation, an act of kindness, tangible ways of serving them? Secondly, is there anyone that you have or are dishonoring? Far from outdoing them in showing honor to them, you're not even honoring them. Again, I'm trying to give us God's word this morning from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. To someone you've dishonored by the way you've spoken to them, publicly or privately. Someone that you've dishonored in your thoughts about them. Someone you've dishonored by ignoring them. There's someone you've been cold toward or rude or distant to. When in reality, we should be showing them honor, motivated, first of all, not by them. Because people are going to let us down. Remember, the reason why showing honor involves grace is because it involves people. And again, the great motivation that we have in doing this, before we really try to take very seriously Romans 12:10, maybe we should go back and look at Romans 11 again and have our hearts warmed by the grace and the love and the mercy and the kindness that God has lavished upon us as undeserving sinners. And then finding his grace and his help by his Holy Spirit to just do this thing of taking delight and being eager to honor others more than we honor ourselves. Being like that pace car. It's out there. It's not going to win the race. It's not going for the prize. Not like the Olympic athlete who's trying to outdo everybody, but like that Christian who's trying to outdo everybody in the sense of outdoing everybody by showing honor to them. And this is a way we can tangibly minister to Christ's body, the church. Let's pray together. Lord, help me to hear your word. Thank you for the blessing of your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your grace lavished upon us. Thank you that you set your love upon us, not because we were worthy of that. Thank you that you've placed the value upon us as being more valuable than many sparrows. And Lord, might this grace that you've lavished upon us be a motivating grace in our sanctification of loving and honoring one another, and thereby doing it as unto Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be dismissed for a time of coffee and refreshment.